Welcome to The Pain Puzzle, an educational series to help you understand chronic low back pain and how you can use mind-based therapies to better manage your pain and get back to the life you love. The Pain Puzzle is brought to you by Relio, a science-backed digital program that combines cutting-edge pain science education with the effective power of clinical hypnosis to get to the root cause of your pain. My name is Fiona. I'm a healthcare practitioner who'll be guiding you through this educational series. In this episode, I'll be talking about why chronic low back pain is so hard to treat and why it's so hard for people to find a solution that actually works. Let's get started. My biggest question when I started researching chronic pain was, why is this such a difficult condition to treat? We know it affects a huge portion of the population and has enormous impacts on quality of life, not to mention the economic burden of lost productivity and treatment costs. Remember, chronic low back pain costs the global economy more than diabetes and cancer combined and is the leading cause of disability worldwide. So, how is there not something to fix it that actually works? How are people being sent away from their doctors and other healthcare practitioners without a clear solution? To explain this, we need to start with unpacking some myths about chronic low back pain that have been dominant in the treatment arena for decades. Just a side note that I'll attach references to support the claims I'm making in the show notes. Okay, myth number one, disc bulging and degeneration is not normal. Disc degeneration or bulging is the most common diagnosis given for chronic low back pain. Usually, this information is delivered following a scan and a scary conversation with your doctor that can leave you feeling like there's something damaged or wrong with your back. But in fact, disc degeneration and bulging isn't actually a symptom of a bad spine or back. It might surprise you to know that disc degeneration and bulging happens to many people of all ages. And for most of them, it doesn't cause any symptoms at all. Many research studies have shown that the amount of disc and nerve damage in the back rarely reflects the amount of pain experienced. In other words, the condition of your back can't really be used as a reliable predictor of the level of pain you'll experience. I know this might be difficult to believe, but understanding this is the first step to addressing the root cause of persistent pain and turning down that noisy pain alarm for good. Let's take a more detailed look at some of the research in this area. There was a systematic review published in 2015 by the American Journal of Neuroradiology, and a systematic review is just a really powerful piece of evidence that we can trust more than a single research study. This review found that almost a third of the 20-year-olds studied had a disc bulge, and 37% of the 20-year-olds had clear signs of disc degeneration. This rose to 96% in people aged over 80. The most important thing to highlight is that this study looked at people without back pain. So there are many people walking around in our communities that have disc degeneration and bulging who aren't experiencing any pain. Another study found that herniated discs exist in up to 70% of people, that disc degeneration can be found in up to 50% of people, and that tears in the disc exist in around 20% of people. And yet, not all of these people experience pain. Okay, myth number two, people with back pain should avoid certain activities. You've probably been told that certain physical activities will make your back pain worse by further damaging your discs or spine. But a recent study has disproved this. This study was conducted by a group of researchers, including Professor Alistair Hart, the chair of orthopaedics at London's Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital. And essentially, this study took a group of 28 runners and scanned their backs before and after completing a marathon. None of the participants had experienced back pain, and none had completed a marathon before the study. Despite this, the MRI they completed before starting 4 months of training found 17 of them, which is more than 50%, had signs of disc degeneration. After finishing the race, they conducted a second MRI and found no signs of further damage. This is strong evidence that the state of our discs shouldn't prevent us from running or being physically active. In fact, running and exercise are likely to be good for our discs by strengthening our spine and helping to more evenly spread the load to our discs. All right, myth number three. The amount of pain experienced is directly related to the level of tissue or structural damage in the back. If what I've covered so far hasn't made you believe that your pain might not be directly related to what's happening in the structure of your tissues in your back, let's introduce the story of Paul de Gelder. While diving with the Australian Navy in 2009, Paul lost his leg and part of an arm after being attacked by a 9-foot bull shark in Sydney Harbour. Despite the severity of the attack, at the time Paul didn't feel any pain, only a bump to his leg when the shark attacked. When he looked down and saw the shark, his immediate reaction was to escape by swimming to safety. Upon attempting to take a stroke, Paul realised he'd lost part of his arm. But throughout this whole traumatic experience, he felt no pain until he reached the safety of the Navy boat. There are also countless stories of soldiers at war who experience severe injuries, including lodged bullets and losing whole limbs, and yet they don't feel any pain at the time. One World War II veteran had a routine chest x-ray 60 years after the war and found a bullet lodged in his neck, but he never felt the shot. There's also the phenomenon of phantom limb pain. This is a very real experience where there's the perception of pain or discomfort in a limb that's no longer there. So what does all of this mean? Many of us have been led to believe that the pain we experience must be directly related to the level of damage or injury in our back. This belief is usually reinforced through scans, imaging, and explanations from our doctors that make us feel like there is a large amount of damage or degeneration to our discs. But research shows that 90% of all chronic low back pain cases are not attributed to a physical cause or structural injury or damage. What this means is that only 10% of chronic low back pain cases are related to structural damage in the body. The remaining cases have no identifiable physical cause for the pain, or they're what clinicians call cases of non-specific back pain, which basically means it is impossible to identify a specific disease or structural reason to explain the pain. Okay, so what gives? What's causing the pain then? The problem when a healthcare practitioner can't find a physical or structural reason for your pain is that it can send a message that the pain is all in your head or not real. This can understandably leave you feeling frustrated and invalidated. It's worth saying loudly and clearly here, this doesn't mean that if the pain isn't structural, it must be all in your head. In reality, pain is a construct of the brain, but this doesn't mean the sensation of pain isn't real. Instead, it means there's a lack of understanding about how pain is made, and therefore a reliance on ineffective treatments to address chronic pain symptoms. A lot of existing treatments for chronic low back pain are designed to only target structural or physical causes of back pain. Think MRI scans, painkillers, massage, manipulation-based physical therapy, surgery, strengthening programs, ergonomics, posture adjustment, the list goes on. Unfortunately, these existing treatments only result in a 30% decrease to a patient's pain score when they're experiencing chronic or ongoing pain. What's missing from existing treatments is a focus on addressing the whole pain system, including the brain. Psychological interventions don't rate anywhere near the top of the list of treatment options, despite being recommended early in the cascade of interventions in clinical guidelines for chronic low back pain, which, by the way, make no mention of surgery at all. But unfortunately, waitlists to see a pain psychologist are inundated, and people wait for years to get in, not to mention it can be an expensive exercise. So if the best evidence we have is telling us that back pain isn't effectively treated by targeting only physical or structural elements of pain alone, why doesn't everyone know this? Why have we gotten so far down the road of medical intervention targeting only structural causes? I've asked this question many times, and unfortunately, there isn't a simple answer. It's like asking why we ever thought reducing fat in foods in place of sugar was a good idea, or prescribing antibiotics for every single illness. We thought we were doing the right thing at the time. And now, a lot of powerful people make a lot of money from existing solutions. Think pharmaceuticals, spinal surgeons, medical device companies, meaning it's going to be hard to shift. Dr. Howard Schubiner, a pioneering clinician and researcher in pain reprocessing therapy, gave another explanation. He says the rise of biotechnical medicine has led us to believe that we can understand the body by slicing and dicing it into its small parts. The brain and the mind has been given to psychiatry, and the body to rheumatologists, cardiologists, and orthopedic doctors, and no one is looking at the whole person. This doesn't just apply to chronic pain alone. So many conditions are dealt with in their individual parts, and we don't take time to understand how they fit within the system that is a whole person. So, that's an overview of why a lot of existing treatment approaches for chronic low back pain aren't working. So the next obvious question, what should I be doing instead? To understand how to better manage chronic pain, it's first important to know about how pain is made and processed through the pain system, which we'll dive into in the next episode. See you then!